And from our schedule yesterday that we had left over, we said today we were going to start out with House Bill 220, and if there were any amendments, we're going to take those immediately. And then we were going to vote on it and move it out. Do we have any amendments for House Bill 220?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Swackhammer. Representative Menard, could you join us, please?
Mr. Chairman, I haven't had an opportunity to talk to Representative Menard about this amendment. If I could continue, the amendment was what Mr. Plummer, the issue Mr. Plummer had raised yesterday. Twofold. One was only charging those people the taxes that come from the underground fuel storage, and with the provision that $25 would put the be charged for the above tank for the purpose of getting the inventory, and the other part of it was to allow people that had those large volumes to be eligible for the grant. And I guess in a standard of fairness, I do know several distributors, especially here in Southeast, that I'm familiar with in fishing. They go through quite a volume, but would not be considered. It's a family operation. I just happen to know the family, and so I can sort of offer the move the amendment.
And we'll, on deck for discussion purposes, have you had a chance to review the amendment?
I'm not totally clear on it, but were you talking about marine fuels are exempt? Were you talking about buying the business selling marine fuels to
No,
fishing?
I just gave that as an example.
I see. Okay. So let me just see.
Mr. Chairman, while he's reading that, can I ask a question? Did the subcommittee put marine fuels back in?
No.
Shucks, why didn't I think about that?
Representative Larson, I wonder if Representative Swackhammer could explain this one more time. I'm not understanding this from
you. Okay, right.
The bill in its present form will make grants available only to owners of underground storage tanks. And the grants would be funded with an increase in motor fuels tax and registration fees from both the above ground and below ground petroleum storage tanks. And this amendment would basically say that the taxes would come just from the underground storage, and with a $25 registration fee to serve the purpose of paying for the inventory that's to be taking place, as I understand the compromise on that issue.
Well, in the bill right now, on the registration fee, there's 2 cents per gallon per tank, or a maximum of $40,000 per facility on a biannual basis, which would be $20,000 a year, would average out. Now, are you saying that on that registration fee, it would be $25?
For the above tank.
For the above tanks?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think there is an issue of discussion in the fact that the large, I guess we could say, upstream distributors that have large bulk fuel facilities and various other things that are distributing out to the other service areas, gas stations, who's ever selling it, that have underground storage tanks, are, in fact, part of the loop on this. And I think there is a registration fee that we set in here, and that's what I want to support at this time. There is an inequity that you do bring out, that if they're large enough, or if they utilize more than 30 million gallons, or they have $10 million worth of assets, and they can self-insure, they're not eligible for the grant program in this bill. And that is the issue.
Any further discussion on this amendment? Representative Brown.
Mr. Chairman, which are we taking all this entire page as the amendment?
Well,
I'm looking at the change, for example, to page 10, line 17, through page 11, line 4, and that, just looking at that, looks like that deals with a different subject than the one we've just been discussing. Is that true? Or is everything on here necessary to just exempt things that aren't sold out of an underground storage tank. Looks like they're different subjects. And
line 17, that basically what we're doing is by removing this section, which is actually section B, it just puts it in everyone is eligible.
Who's everyone?
In other words, it would take away from the limitations, as I understand it. Ray Plummer is here. That's all I'm saying.
Could I ask who this is by request of?
Mr. Plummer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just with respect to the first part of the amendment on page 2, line 4, after description, I don't believe this reads correctly. I mean, if you read the lead-in to this thing and then try to read number 3 in context, it does not make sense, and I guess I'm going to have to vote against this. I don't understand totally what it does, and I don't believe the amendment is in proper form.
Representative Menard?
I didn't hear the question.
I guess the first question was on page 2, line 4, after description, that it would read, under Alaska Statutes 4340, 10A2 and B2, for motor fuel use in boats and watercraft of all descriptions, and except motor fuel which is either stored in, received in, or delivered from an underground storage tank at a facility where the sale given rise to the imposition of the surcharge occurs. In other words, it would be deleting the period and putting in a comma, and then it would read as follows there.
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, that this would substantially change the amount that is, of course, revenue generated on this bill, and I don't know all the ramifications of this at this time, so, you know, I'm opposed to the amendment, and maybe we could look at it, you know, before it goes to the floor or at another thing, but I think this substantially changes some things that I would have to look at to see how that would shake out. And I didn't have any prior preparation or know that this was coming, otherwise I would have been better prepared to respond to it.
I apologize, Mr. Yeah. I apologize, Representative Menard. This came to me early. I just wanted to have the opportunity to let that side of the issue be aired. I didn't feel like it was accurately discussed the other day. So if you're willing to do that, go ahead and I can withdraw the amendment if we can discuss this in rules.
Sure.
Is it?
Yeah, are the objections to the amendment being withdrawn? Other objections? Okay, none, then so ordered. Do we have anything else in relation to the committee substitute for House Bill number 220? Are we ready for the question to move the bill from committee? If so, I'd entertain a motion. Representative Brown?
I move that we pass CS for House Bill 220 finance from committee with individual recommendations and with the accompanying revised fiscal note.
Object.
Hearing objections, discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I think I made it pretty clear yesterday what my objections to this bill are. I don't need to take the committee's time by being redundant. I object to the 2 cents a gallon tax on the motor in public. In addition to that, I object to $1 million grant be given to, in essence, what is private enterprise from the general public, for which they're already paying in the form of the gasoline prices that they presently pay.
I'm looking for the revised fiscal note. Okay,
stated 429.
Mr. Chairman, while you're still looking for the fiscal note, I'll continue. I also do not feel that there is equality under this bill, because I believe that when you force all businesses to participate in collecting a tax and you only allow a certain portion of those to participate in the grant section, to me that is unequal opportunity under this law. So therefore I feel that the bill is flawed in that manner as well as many others.
Okay, further discussion? Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I do support this bill. I liked the prior version better than this version, but I still feel the bill's worth moving forward with. I think the policy issues that Representative Menard has tried to address here are important ones, and that we're going to have to revisit this hopefully in the near future. But I'd urge the members to get a due pass.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support the bill as well. I guess after thinking about the loan fund being set up, how are we getting around the question of dedicated funds as stated in our Constitution? Has that been addressed as far as you know?
Representative Menard?
It has not been addressed, but we wanted to get some language in the budget to say that revenues were... that are collected under this could be set up on an annual appropriation.
Further discussion? Would you call the roll?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think that the way he proposes to do this is the proper way. I feel that if he wants to in some way bind the legislature, he should have intent at the end of this bill that says that it is the intent of the legislature that the money collected under this act shall be appropriated to, and that grants shall be made out of those appropriations.
Okay. Further discussion? Not the land, will you call the roll?
Representative Phillips?
No.
Representative Rieger?
No.
Representative Swackhammer?
Yes.
Representative Ballmer?
Yes.
Representative Wallace?
Yes.
Representative Barnes?
No.
Representative Brown?
Yes.
Representative
Coleman?
Yes.
Chairman Larson?
Yes.
Chairman Hoffman?
Yes.
Representative
Schultz? On 220?
Yes.
I'll vote no, because I don't know what's been done to it.
Nothing good.
seeing Representative, please note that House Bill 220 then has passed from committee with individual recommendations in the revised fiscal note, and maybe Representative Schultz can give us an update on the track meet.
Daughter. Yeah, daughter.
Doing it. They're doing good. Boy, it's a beautiful day.
We wouldn't know.
But
how did your daughter do?
The daughter won the 100-yard highs, got third in 100, and she's the Juneau team took first in the 800-yard relay and the 400-yard relay, which she's a member of. So
good.
They're doing good. They're the whole Juneau team, that Dauber Smith from Ketchikan is doing a tremendous job too, and then that girl from Haynes.
Is this state is out? State championship.
Okay, next was the other bill we had on teleconference yesterday, resolution HCR 2 relating to state economic indices and report. Does the committee wish to take any action on this bill today? Are there any objections?
Any objections?
Representative Rieger.
Mr. Chairman, again, my only objection is to the $150,000 designated grant to ICER. It's probably not justified sufficiently, regardless of the good intentions of the basic resolution.
Okay, any further discussion? Are the objections maintained?
Yes.
Okay, would you please call the roll, ma'am?
Representative Rieger?
No.
Representative Schultz?
No.
Representative Swackhammer?
Yes.
Representative Ballmer?
Yes.
Representative Wallace?
Yes.
Representative Barnes?
Nope.
Representative Brown? Yes. Representative Coleman? Yes. Representative Hewitt? No. Chairman Hoffman? Yes. Chairman Larson? Yep. 7 yeas and 4 nays. Okay, next we have 154, then 185, then 203, and then 301. The 154 was supplemental bill. It would be our intent today to get information on any of the oil spill amendments that are being proposed or any other amendments However, not to move this out until approximately Monday or Tuesday of this week.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Phillips?
Let me just ask a policy question. Is it the intent of the committee to move two separate bills or one bill?
Right now, we only have one bill, Representative Phillips. That's a decision that could be made in the future, but we can't. Now we're working on that as well.
We got to find a bill.
Before the amendments, let me recognize Representative Brough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe the members have in front of you an amendment that's already been distributed by the Fiscal Policy Committee, an amendment to 154. It would take an insertion in the title making supplemental special appropriations related to the Valdez oil spill. It has your role in the top, GO-1039-HHA. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to move this amendment first, and then if subsequent amendments are adopted to leave open the possibility of revising downward the first sum of money in Section 58, if we are able to specifically identify and agree upon items that need to be funded and have been identified in the separate pack of amendments that were distributed late yesterday. Mr. Chairman, the subcommittee worked on this bill. We had extensive work on it during the last week. It basically would appropriate a lump sum to the governor to be used to cover expenses that are reimbursable from third parties in the best judgment of the Attorney General. And these are things brought about as a direct result of the Exxon Valdez oil spill. Then it sets out the three types of expenditures. The first item is to cover the social, economic, environmental assessments as set out in the Code of Federal Register. And this is the agreement that's being entered into, has been entered into by the state and federal agencies. And these are mostly biological assessments. And there is a criteria and a procedure that's going to govern the expenditures of that money. And then number two would be other social, economic, environmental assessments, and three, mitigation effects. And again, the binding operative language here would be that they have to be recoverable expenses. Then we further go on to condition the expenditure of those funds by submission to LBNA, a report setting out a procedure to ensure that all expenditures are necessary and appropriate and reimbursable, and approval of those procedures by the committee. And we did discuss with our council, the legislative council, whether this could be made any more tight or binding in with respect to the legislative oversight, and we're advised that this is the best we can do under the current statute and the court rulings that affect how those oversight procedures are to be handled by the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. And the unexpended and unobligated balance of that would lapse on February 15th of 1990. Section 59 then would make a $3.5 million appropriation to the Department of Law for litigation costs, and that would also lapse in February 90. Section 60 sets out intent. It's the intent that we not be setting up or using these funds for existing budgeted state positions. We set up the procedure that the funds be charged to a specific code so that they can be tracked. And that further go on to say it's our intent that these positions be deleted when the projects are complete. We put in the intent that local or that Alaska residents be hired to the maximum extent possible. And finally, that the governor report compliance with this intent by the first day of the next session of the legislature. Section 61 is a $750,000 appropriation to the Fisheries Enhancements Revolving Loan Fund, and that appropriation would not lapse, but would be to further capitalize the fund. This was included initially in the House Bill 100, and we felt that it was appropriate to put it here and keep it with these oil-related expenditures. So with that explanation, Mr. Chairman, I would move this amendment.
Are there objections?
Objections.
Representative Schultz.
Yeah, just a question on page 2. Where it starts out, it says state agencies are authorized to establish, fund, and use program or project employees. Who are program and project employees? Who are those?
Those are people specifically designated for these projects. Positions specifically dedicated for these projects.
Okay. I guess the other question, I know that Exelon's going to end up paying through their nose on this whole process, but oftentimes I can see some very frivolous spending that can go on as a result of this also. I think the silliest thing that I had heard about was the disaster psychologist that was coming out of New York. And who made that decision? Does anyone know? I mean, someone has got to be able to get a handle on those kinds of things that are pretty silly. I don't know what a disaster psychologist. I read in the paper where he was going to make recommendations to the Alaska legislature. I don't know what kind of recommendations he's going to make. But I mean,
Representative Schultz, I wasn't aware there was a disaster psychologist that had been hired by the state.
I think there's only one in the United States of America.
I think there was a proposal to hire one. I don't know whether.
No, he's been hired. He's been paid $12,000, Mr. Chairman. And that decision has been made by the Department of Health and Social Services. I have all the backup on that. And there's a couple of psychologists in the state are pretty upset about it. So,
I guess that was my question, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Who do they have as clients?
All right, let me get the list.
I guess that was my question. How, on this oversight of these kinds of things, I assume that anyone that feels distressed because of the oil spill, I mean, maybe someone that doesn't want to send their kids to school or, I don't know. I mean, if they start writing checks out and adding a bunch of zeros to it, I could probably get pretty distressed pretty quick, too. Maybe you ought to visit with me. The more zeros, the less frustration I'll have, you know.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Copeland and Barnes.
Project-specific, I once was hired to do some investigation in the Human Rights Commission in relation to pipeline hiring. Found a very interesting work, but I was specifically hired to those as an investigator for completion of a certain series of investigations. I had no desire to stay on, and nor did I ever explore whether it was, but it was strictly specific to that period of time. So I presume that's what this is. But I have my question actually deals with what do we do about the expenditures we discussed earlier that probably are not reimbursable in the same manner? For example, the local hire problem, you have to have somebody in Valdez for that. Possibly the roads, they need additional maintenance, something passes a high maintenance area, and the additional traffic, DOTs are from asking for more money. But I don't see how we get that out of it.
We'll get a response for your answer, then we'll go to Representative Barnes. So Representative Brown for a response.
The necessary items that may not be reimbursable that the administration is prepared to put forward at this time are basically 5 amendments that were distributed yesterday that deal with HES, community and regional affairs, labor, public safety, and the Department of Commerce, way stations, and insurance claims. So I'm wondering procedurally, while I have the floor here for a second, if it would be better to now move to amend the amendment to incorporate these one by one before we take action on the main amendment. I guess
you know what happened to me is I cleaned out my packet, and I bet I cleaned out those five amendment, so maybe we have...
I believe we have some additional copies of that. But I guess the answer is that the ones that we know about that we can identify at this time, we're going to consider those as separate specific appropriations to those agencies for those purposes. Anything else then would have to fall under the guidelines that are set out here, which is they have to be reimbursable from third parties in the best judgment of the Attorney General. We have to have a reasonable basis for asserting those claims and getting that money back before we would be authorized, before the administration could spend any dollars in Section 58A.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Wallace and Chairman Hoffman.
It's getting hard.
Excuse me, Representative Barnes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Brown, would you please tell me item number one under Section 58, the first word, social. How are you defining the social impact, please?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Barnes, that's going to be defined under the terms of this 43 CFR 11. And I will find that here in a second. I have a lot of paper here.
If you could just tell me generally.
It is an agreement under the CERCLA and the Clean Water Act. These federal laws, require responsible parties to do certain things in certain circumstances, and an agreement has been entered into between the state of Alaska with the Commissioner of Fish and Game as the designee and three federal agencies. That they have entered into an agreement for assessing the effects of the oil spill. Until we assess those effects and document those effects, we are not eligible to get reimbursement. Then, under that agreement, Exxon has agreed to pay $15 million as a starting point for making that assessment. I believe that it's $8 million that's already been forwarded to that fund, and $2 million has been forwarded to the state under that fund. And that is the agreement there. And so the items that would fall under number one would basically be the proposed expenditures by the Department of Fish and Game and the university that are aimed at assessments of the damage. And I'll continue looking for this agreement. Did you, Steve, can you put your hands on your copy of that agreement?
I see.
Representative Wallace?
Under the subject of procedure, I would prefer that before we incorporate them, that I get be allowed to read the material that's before us, because if I object to something and it's in the bill, it'd be hard to take it back out. So if you're not going to move it from it this week, well, I would ask for that consideration.
Well, I'm going to go through each of these one at a time. Chairman
Hawson? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is the lead agency still the U.S. Coast Guard?
Under the 43...
Who's responsible for the oversight? Complete oversight.
It is the Coast Guard, to my knowledge.
I guess the question that I have, I know it's, you know, we have the U.S. Coast Guard honcho is the whole cleanup. And it seems to me, and I made this point several times, is that who's going to be dividing up the responsibility and the financial obligations? And I guess that gives me grave concern. You know, we are talking about some $40 million here now, and what are the financial obligations or commitments of other agencies. I think by us putting up these dollars up front, it's going to alleviate some of the financial burden that Exxon should be carrying. We, as citizens in the state of Alaska, should be concerned about the oil spill to make sure it's adequately addressed and adequately cleaned up. At the same time, we have a financial obligation to the citizens of this state to continue to provide basic services that are required. We are in the process in House Bill 100 of reducing programs that are very important to the citizens of the state. We're proposing to reduce municipal assistance revenue sharing. That's going to cause additional financial burden and possibly additional taxes to the people of the state. I have concerns that if we go ahead and follow through with this plan, without getting a more detailed list of what type of expenses we're authorizing, I know that we're giving the all the jurisdiction and the judgment to the Attorney General for what he deems as reimbursable from third parties. And I think that the responsibility for the payment of these bills should be with Exxon. We should be billing them first and pressing them to the wall. Because I have a grave concern that if we don't do that, we're going to end up, and I see we're going to put $3.5 million for legal expenses, we're going to end up litigating this and trying to get the dollars reimbursed to us. All of, you know, you take $36 million and you put it in a savings account, it'll earn substantial dollars to the state of Alaska. And especially during these times that we have, we're facing difficult financial decisions in the state of Alaska, and what we're going to be doing on a long-term basis, I guess, gives me additional concern. And I know we have some basic guidelines here of social, economic, environmental assessments, but I guess I would like to see from someone, what are the costs? What are we going to be doing with these dollars? Just somebody doing some number crunching so we can make a better decision. It seems as though we realize that there's a major problem out there and we're going to throw dollars at it to fix it. And it doesn't seem to me that I haven't heard from the Coast Guard what their plans are, and it seems as though someone should be taking a broader perspective of this major disaster and coming up with a unified approach to resolving it.
Response, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the subcommittee, which spent a lot of time wrestling with the very concerns that Representative Hoffman has, and I think we all have that same concern, what is our responsibility vis-a-vis the entities that caused this disaster, and how are we going to assure that they live up to their obligations? I guess it seems to me that I want to assure you that we have, in fact, crunched these numbers, and we've been through a lengthy list of possible expenditures. We have assessed those, and we have tightened this up to the point that I guess I'm reasonably comfortable that we're not going to see inappropriate uses of the money nor things built into the continuing base of state government. In a moment, we're going to be considering some specific amendments for specific known problems that the administration is asking us to consider. If those amendments are adopted, the groups that would be left to be addressed under basically points 1, 2, and 3 out of the main appropriation would be ASME, Tourism, the Department of Natural Resources, and Fish and Game, and the University. The ASME and tourism situation, as I understand it, there are negotiations going on right now. I was told that there would be negotiations going on today with respect to the ASME appropriation, or getting that money from Exxon, and what they've been pressing to get something approved so that the advertising campaign could begin immediately. There is mounting evidence that there is, in fact, negative backlash or negative perceptions in the United States and presumably the rest of the world, with respect to this oil spill. And it's partly a geography problem that people don't know where Prince William Sound is, and when they hear the Alaska spill, they're not clear about where that is. And there have been, I believe that there is cause for concern, and I guess how I feel is I don't think we can put our fate in Exxon's hands and wait for Exxon to cough up the money before we proceed to try to protect the state's interests. And so we can't really count on the timing of these funds, but it seems critical that we move ahead and that the administration have adequate resources available to deal with it. I don't know if I've been responsive, and I'd see whether the administration had any comments or, you know, would like to further speak to that.
Well, I think, you know, that we should be pushing Exxon to the limit, but there's another party out there, and that's the lead agency in this case. And the lead agency is the U.S. Coast Guard, the federal government. The federal government in the past has declared national disasters on much smaller spills than this, and it seems as though we should be pursuing getting them involved and opening up their checkbook, which is substantially larger than ours. And I know that they were involved in other spills, and we should be pushing as hard as possible to get a hold of those purse strings to address the biggest oil spill this nation has ever seen. And before we start using our own dollars that I feel that are going to be tied up for years and years. And I just don't, I guess I just don't see that happening.
Yes, again, back to procedures, I would, even though we're going to go over each section by section, I would hope that we would not start moving things into the bill because it's grown so much here and there's so much information. I need to see the big picture. So if there are motions to incorporate,
could we perhaps consolidate these outstanding amendments into one big oil spill amendment and get that much of it cleaned up? I mean,
those six bills?
Yeah, we have these five separate amendments that address HES, community and regional affairs, labor, public safety, and commerce.
We would take those one at a time.
And we could put those into this amendment and then hold final action on the big amendment.
Right.
Would that, does that meet your concern? And then not incorporate the big amendment into the bill yet?
Yeah, that would give us time to review each of these. Representative Shelton?
Mr. Chairman, The problem I have with this whole thing, we've got money that they need for the tourism thing, and it has had a negative impact, okay, outside in the. And I was just out there recently, and I was asked a lot of questions about the whole thing. But somehow or another, there's got to be some kind of censorship on this thing, because we've got one department that's promoting people coming into the state, and you've got another one and other two or three agencies that are doing just exactly the opposite. And I'll give you an example. When I was talking about that person that hired a disaster psychologist, he did it. Okay, Charles L. Pete Worrell, W-H-E-R, or Werpel, okay, he's a state coordinating officer, okay, he wrote a letter. And he said, as you know, the Valdez oil spill has disrupted numerous lives in the Prince William Sound. As coordinator of the State Emergency Management Center in Valdez, I am deeply concerned about the psychological stress imposed upon the citizens of these communities. We are prepared to pay you $600 a day plus travel and per diem to come to Alaska and do the following. Evaluate the psychological stress relating to the oil spill. Help mental health professionals in Prince William Sound and Kodiak to develop a mental health crisis counseling plan. Conduct training for mental health providers in disaster crisis counseling. Simply said that. How can these people do this? Then they turn around and we wonder why people have such a negative opinion about this thing. Here's the proposal. Change is inevitable. The predictability of the life has been disrupted for most who live and work in the state. Threatened or actual loss of control over life circumstances can result in a loss of an individual's sense of integrity and autonomy, leading to a state of anxiety and apprehension. Furthermore, the impact of the residents from this environmental holocaust of such a magnitude is simply unknown. Goes on, and it goes on and on along these lines. We got people that are writing to people outside, state agencies, that are telling people this. we got people that are sending stuff out and saying, come on up, $600 a day, sign a contract. We need a disaster psychologist. You know, we got to have control somehow. This is silly. We need to help tourism, and we definitely need to, because tourism is going to drop off significantly as a result of this. But somehow or another, these people that are running around, all they can see, in my opinion, is dollar signs. They're just in hog heaven. Here's an opportunity to really get into someone's pocketbook, expand their agencies, and they do it in the name of helping humanity. And they are actually hurting the state of Alaska, in my opinion.
Maybe we get some response from the state here, too, Ellison.
Okay, so that's more.
Well, Ellison's coming up just in relation to that. A couple of years ago, of course, terrorism in Europe, of course, caused a tremendous influx of tourists to Alaska here. I wonder what the European nations did for disaster psychologists and so forth in relation to some of those things. Maybe we
can live with it.
Well, I do believe that there are entities. Safety, I know, has been impacted. The state troopers, I know tourism is going to be impacted. But health and social services don't need another nickel, not a penny.
Allison?
Mr. Chairman, I think Representative Brown has done a very good job in representing this amendment and the types of expenses that we feel need to be covered. We are very concerned about the timing of funds from third parties, and while we do feel that the majority of expenses that we are looking at in the way of damage assessment will be reimbursable by a third party, the third party could delay payment, and if we were subject to waiting on those funds, jeopardize the results of the damage assessment itself just because of a timing delay. So we feel that we must get started on these damage assessments now, and that this appropriation would allow us to do so and get that work underway. We are not interested in just putting forth state funds, though, that are not reimbursable, and feel that reimbursable language is quite appropriate in this context and will provide the kind of check and balance that I believe the committee is looking for, with the exceptions that we've put forward here as potentially not being reimbursable.
Chairman Hoffman, then Representative Price.
Well, how much time are we going to be... Well, how much time does the Attorney General have to make his best judgments between now and February on spending $36 million? It seems to be a tremendous job, and, you know, I like that oversight, but... Is he going to be spending 10, 12 hours a day figuring out how to spend $36 million?
No, Mr. Chairman, we will not spend the money if we don't have to spend the money. It's a matter of trying to provide enough flexibility to be able to do that's necessary.
That's not the question. How is he going to be able to accomplish this under his best judgment? He's going to be reviewing these bills here that are going to be coming in for reimbursement?
The Attorney General, Mr. Chairman, will be working in conjunction with the resource commissioners primarily and the Chief of Staff through a cabinet-level task force to review these proposed expenditures. We also have the CERCLA agreement, which brings in the federal government in the context of some of the assessments that are being proposed. I think that there will be substantial opportunity for review before money's expended. I'm not sure if that answers your question either.
Representative Phillips. And just cast a bad light on everything.
Can I give a little history of this thing here, Mr. Chairman? Because this was brought to my attention about a week or 10 days ago. We've been trying to trace this thing down, which I think we've done already. And the recommendation actually was approved by the Adjutant General, the disaster people, to hire this guy. Upon the recommendation by Mr. Mark Johnson from the Department of Health and Social Services for $12,000 to hire this guy from out of state in Kansas,
Now, there was a disaster about 3 or 4 years ago. It was called Crown Point. And Alaska Railroad hired a disaster psychologist, and he was from Anchorage, Alaska. Now, this is just a good example. And people ask me, what can I do about this expenditure? And frankly, nothing. You've already spent the money. And here you want $36 million? I just, not too much confidence in me, you know, on this. And I'm just sitting here, what are you going to do about it? That's what they're asking. What are you going to do about it? Well, frankly, it's not too much I can do about this particular situation right now, $12,000. But it sure makes me real angry that somebody from the Health and Social Services Department is sitting here, hired somebody from out of state, when you had a disaster in Crown Point, essentially the same thing, dealing with chemicals in one case, the other case, petroleum products, and people are wondering what's going to happen to them. It just, I don't know what else we can do about this one. This one I'm just real angry about. And then here I got a bill for $36 million. They say, well, here's the check. We'll take care of it for you. And, you know, these same people back home are going to be calling me on this $36 million, how it's going to be spent. So just want to point that out.
Yeah, I guess the thing that frustrates me the most is, where did the money come from? Where did the money come from? Who had it? Where did, whose budget was it? Was it a disaster fund or something like that? I thought that was depleted at one time. And this happened prior to us appropriating the $20 million.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not positive where it came from, but my the Division of Emergency Services does operate under the Disaster Relief Fund, and it could be very well have been covered through that.
Okay. I'm wondering, is this one of these things that that the state will go after after reimbursement for? I assume that this person is going to submit a report, write a report that will cost the legislature money. They're saying, okay, there's X number of people that are psychologically or whatever impacted by this thing, and it's going to cost you X number of million dollars to resolve the problem. I don't know. I mean, it's the report that I read simply said that the person would make a report, and it would be a report to the legislature. I don't know what kind of report it would be, but if the state goes after reimbursement, I mean, they made a silly decision, okay, and then to go to Exxon and ask them for reimbursement for hiring a disaster psychologist to come into them, you know, I'd say stand in line, get way to the back. When it comes your turn, we'll sit down and talk about it, you know, 30, 40 years from now.
Representative Byrne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, Allison, I'd like to say that in our state, we're known for having disasters, whether it be the flood in Fairbanks or the earthquake in Anchorage or whatever. We've had disasters. And I suspect that in none of the times that we've had disasters in the past, like the Fairbanks flood or the earthquake, have we had disaster specialists come in to tell us whether it makes us sick or not. It makes us sick. It makes us all sick. And in that regard, I do believe that we have all kinds of community mental health centers, all kinds of specialists already that we're paying for to take care of these things. And I think that's what the rest of the committee that's spoken to this is saying. And the thing that is really troubling me is that we in Alaska are a resource-based state, and our whole future is going to depend on our resources and the development of those resources. And the more that we blow this thing up, because it seems to me the national press is doing a good enough job of it, because the East Coast Greenies has never wanted any development in this state to begin with. And they're going to use this for everything it's worth. And every time we do something like this, seems to me we only add fuel to the fire. We all want to see that disaster cleaned up. We want to see our fisheries survive. And it was a terrible thing that happened. But I hate to have to see everybody feeding off of a disaster. I believe that we're going to need extra road funds. for the road to Valdez, because obviously it's going to have a lot of heavy traffic over it. I believe we're going to have some more public safety people. And there are things like that that I think that you can justify. But some of the requesting here, I don't think that there is any way that people can justify. Am I saying that the Attorney General, excuse me, Ron, this is no reflection on you, is going to say what the oversight is and whether or not, in his opinion, he thinks that it will be repaid? That's just another lawyer's opinion. And that's all it boils down to. Because I have seen lots of opinions come out of the Attorney General's office that didn't hold water. They weren't worth the paper they were written on. So that does not give me a great deal of comfort to say that the Attorney General is going to decide whether or not that these are projects that Exxon will repay. And if I was Exxon, and I would be willing to pay for all the damages for the cleanup, for the fisheries, the tourism, associated expense. But some of this other stuff, I would say, and I wouldn't do it. And I think it's really too bad that we've got citizens in this state that is continuing to blow this thing up and blow it up and blow it up for whatever reason. I think it's the wrong reason.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Barnes, I share your concern, and I do think that the opinion of reimbursability language does, in fact, protect you from having the state spend the money on a lot of the things that were originally presented in that package. It is because of the reimbursable language that we have prepared specific amendments for other departments for those things that we are right now as an administration willing to endorse as necessary, but which may in fact not be reimbursable. And those are the only amendments that we're prepared to put forward right now specifically. And they are for public safety and for the way station operators to, you know, watch after the road, and the Department of Labor for the local hire enforcement activities and OSHA compliance. Now, those types of things are kind of once removed from a direct reimbursement kind of criteria, and we didn't put forward any of the requests specifically for the other categories of things, the community mental health grants. We're not prepared to endorse those ourselves right now. The
money's already been spent.
Psychiatrist. Yes, and I'm sorry about that. It makes my job harder, too. I can appreciate that. It's troublesome to the committee.
Yeah.
For this section, Representative Alder.
Mr. Chairman, could we just go through these one at a time and see if we could reach consensus on some of them?
I mean, five?
Yes.
Proposed?
Mm-hmm. I think the first one is the Commerce and Economic Development one.
Yes, we could. There's a couple of other bills I'd like to get to before we have to come back to the floor, too. Okay, maybe I'll recognize Representative Brown to start going through.
Yeah, I don't know what order people have these in, but...
Whatever order you bring them up.
Okay, let's take the public safety one for $277,400.
Mr. Chairman,
could I ask Ms. LG to give us just a brief synopsis of the purposes of for which this money is being requested?
Mr. Chairman, this particular amendment is primarily for expenses that have been incurred in fiscal year 89. It is for the additional Fish and Wildlife Enforcement, a very small amount of money for the Division of Fire Prevention, and money for the Alaska State Troopers. The Department of Public Safety found it necessary to put additional personnel in the area immediately following the spill, primarily because of the tremendous influx of people and the very short tempers that have been prevalent in the communities impacted. The expenses, as I said, are primarily for fiscal year 89, and the department anticipates having, I believe, one trooper, in addition to that, that was already included in the base budget on an ongoing basis necessary in the area.
And if I might add, the one trooper position proposed for 90 is for a six-month position, so it's already been reduced to a point that it'll fall within our seven-month lapse window.
Have these requests met the scrutiny that would be called for in Section 58, that in the best judgment of the Attorney General are reimbursable?
No, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure that the Attorney General could say in his best judgment these expenses are reimbursable, and that's why they've been put forward separately.
Representative Rieger?
Mr. Chairman, a question I have on this is, in the backup, it appears that what we're paying for is both the overtime and the straight time of specific named personnel, and I'm wondering why the supplemental for the straight time, isn't that already budgeted into the fiscal year 1989 operating budget? And I can understand why there would be additional costs for overtime, but I do question the straight time.
Mr. Chairman, the Department of Public Safety has a number of authorized positions, but not but carries a fairly substantial level of vacancy in the detachments component particularly. While they don't feel that they need additional positions in order to be able to put these people into the area, they do need additional funding in order to keep filled the positions that they already have authorized. And that's why this is specific, because they have pulled people that they already had working into the area and then have got to provide resources in the areas that these troopers came out of.
Is there like a waiting list of Fish and Wildlife Protection officers and troopers who are qualified and ready to be hired to replace them?
Mr. Chairman, I couldn't speak to what they've got in the way of eligible recruits.
That's the only reservation I have on this one. I think that the activity is a legitimate activity. It's just I sense that maybe there isn't, again, filling out some of the FY89 budget with it as well.
Any further discussion? Representative Owen.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, would it be helpful to move this and then to see if people feel comfortable, and then we would incorporate it and just take it one by one, and those that people want to think about, they'd still have the chance to think about between now and next week?
I think it'd be very good. Okay.
Thank you.
Let's move them one at a time. And
okay, I would move that. Now, shall we move to include them in House Bill 154, or move to include them as part of the oil spill amendment?
What is your recommendation? I think if we move to include them as part of the oil spill amendment, they'd have to meet the scrutiny as provided for in the amendment.
Well, no, sir. The way I read this amendment right now, we've got Section 58, which has the big expenditure,
okay.
And then we've got subsequent sections, like 59 is to the law, and it would not be subject to all those.
And this would be Section 62, then.
Right. Mr. Chairman, I would move that we include the $277,400 to the Department of Public Safety amendment into what we'll call the oil spill amendment as Section 62, and ask unanimous consent.
Are there objections? Is there any objections?
Well,
Representative
Shelton. A question. Did we incorporate this amendment by the fiscal policy subcommittee? Okay. That's not there.
It's
yet.
Not been incorporated into the main bill.
Okay. That was my question.
Okay, Chairman Hoffman and Representative Rieger.
Why wouldn't say the escorting of the Exxon Valdez by the vigilant be considered meet the scrutiny test? It would seem that that would clearly be a reimbursable expense. With the man hours as well as the or why were these individuals escorting the Exxon Valdez? Was there security problems? There's a lot of hours here related to that, and I was wondering what was the justification here.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, I don't know the details of that.
Mr. Chairman, wasn't the Coast Guard doing the escorting and providing security in that area at the time?
Representative Rieger, you were next, and Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's a little off that subject, but I want to say that to be consistent, the expenses in here are probably reimbursable, except for the question of who's not supposed to be doing the escorting. But I would treat this the same way that I treated the shortfall in the ferry system. You know, the oil spill may have allowed them to keep operating with other funds for the remainder of the year, but really my opposition is to other supplementals. And I think this, by itself, in a vacuum, is a legitimate expense. It's the things which are elsewhere in House Bill 1454 that I object to. So I guess, even though I have reservations, it's to be consistent. This one isn't where the problem is.
Further discussion on this amendment. Representative Brown.
I think Chairman Hoffman raises a good point that we want to emphasize and keep straight in the record. Our action on any of these separate items does not preclude the Department of Law pursuing recovery of these items, and I would agree that a lot of these items should be reimbursable and, in fact, probably are reimbursable.
Further discussion? Representative Schultz.
Question is, you know, all these departments are just about ready here on the 1st of July to get a big windfall, most of them, because of the budgets that we have worked on. And I'm wondering possibly if maybe they shouldn't let the departments go ahead and address the portions of the budget that they have and the personnel, et cetera, in the areas of the oil spill. And then, as they always do, we've adequately and more than adequately funded many divisions in the state this year. And they came in with a supplemental. And I am sure that we'll see another supplemental next year. So why don't we tell them to watch your pennies, spend it appropriately. If you can justify it before the legislature next year, then you get the supplemental. Otherwise, you just eat it.
Further discussion?
Question.
Call the question.
Representative Schultz?
Nope.
Representative Swackhammer?
Yes.
Representative Vollmer?
Yes.
Representative Wallace?
Yes.
Representative Barnes?
I'm going to vote yes, but I'd like to clarify my vote. I'm only voting yes because this is a public safety issue. Otherwise, my vote would be no.
Representative Brown?
Yes.
Yep.
Representative Phillips?
Yes.
Representative
Rieger?
Yes.
Co-Chairman Markley?
Yes.
Co-Chairman
Hoffman?
Yes.
There were
some
signs
there.
It happened over there.
Next one, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move the Department of Labor amendment at a lower number. I would propose we fund this at $312,100 to the Department of Labor to meet increased demands on state agency operations for occupational safety and health monitoring, employment services, and local hire promotion and enforcement directly related to the Valdez oil spill. My reason for proposing a reduction in the amount is that I believe we are trying to fund the FY90 requests at 7 months and not at a full year. And that amount needs to be backed out of the request. So I would make that as a motion.
Do we have any objections? Representative Schultz?
Do they have a labor office in Valdez? Or Cordova?
Allison? Not,
Mr. Chairman, there are job service offices in both locations.
Do they have people that work for Department of Labor?
The job service offices are staffed by the Department of Labor, yes.
Why do they need more help in monitoring and promoting local hire? How many people does it take to promote local hire? Is one too many? Is 10 not enough?
They're down at Bradley Lake.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the request in here for the promotion of local hire is only 7,000 $500, and that's to provide the additional travel necessary to get to the area. The remainder of the request here is for the job service offices, which have been heavily impacted by the number of people seeking jobs in the area, and for occupational safety and health activities.
Representative Wallace.
I apologize, Mr. Chairman. I didn't hear what Representative Brown was backing. He changed the figure.
Okay, from 472.8 to 312.1.
312.1.
Yes, I heard the figure, but I didn't hear what you were backing out.
Okay, there are some positions related to the job service and the OSHA that are proposed to be funded at 12 months. I have removed 5 months of the funding in order to get you to a 7 months funding for those positions, because it would be our intent to only have these things go until we get back, and then we can assess where we are and whether we need to do anything else at that time.
Is that going to work? I had backed out $15,000 out of local hire in making this year's budget.
The local hire.
That's what I said, it's only 7.5. I backed out more than that, just out of the regular travel and office expense account. And I know that in making up the FY90 budget in the subcommittee to make it reach the cap. So I'm not sure.
Chairman Hoffman and Representative Rieger.
We're funding here a full-time industrial hygienist to conduct air samples and other industrial health samples to assure workers are not exposed to toxic substances. I was under the impression that like 40% of the oil has already been evaporated. And are we going to require to have this position on? I think that the most crucial times have already passed in relation to, problems that might arise as a result of air pollution.
Okay, Representative Rieger.
I'll pass.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under one of your decrement descriptions, there is a request for one full-time industrial hygienist to conduct air samples and other industrial health samples to assure workers are not exposed to toxic substance. Is the Department of Environmental Quality doing that also?
Same thing.
I'm asking if she knows.
Allison, do you know?
Mr. Chairman, the Division of Occupational Safety and Health Works does this testing specific to the workplace, whereas the Department of Environmental Conservation will do it for general air quality and drinking water quality.
Mr. Chairman, if I might continue, I believe the workplace in this case is outside. And it seems to me that one agency should be enough to do the testing rather than having two of them doing it. And I would think that the Department of Environmental Conservation is the one that is doing that. But I also had another question. Where did I find this? Let's see. Protective clothing for inspectors. Also, we purchased float coats and boots for our staff stationed there for their protection. What kind of float coats and boots? Is that stuff they're wearing out on boats or on land? Or?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Barnes, to my my understanding is that these are specific equipment because of the oily area, and that the department has put forward a direct claim for reimbursement on those particular expenses to Exxon.
I just had one last one. On another page, it says the grant with the Alaska Health Project, $75,000, would be to establish a system to monitor possible hazardous exposure and medical effects among oil spill cleanup workers. It seems to me that they're again, and they only want to, where did I see, I think $75,000 for that, that again, that would be something that environmental conservation would be doing, and it seems like it's doing it twice.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Barnes, we are not requesting the money for the Alaska Health Project, and it was noted on the C-5 form itself that included in our proposal was no money for that particular project.
Yes, well, having run the Department of Health, I mean Department of Labor budget subcommittee, and cutting it to meet the cap, I cut out the medical director of occupational health and $15,000 out of local hire and various other things. A couple of OSHA positions. I can say that the department, the money for these services is not in the department at this time, and that there is, under federal OSHA, which we have taken over, the requirement for workplace exposure to hazardous and toxic substances does belong under OSHA, and there are specific, we can give it back to the feds if you want, but I think I would prefer not to. And my own feeling is quite the opposite. I think it's inadequate to do the job that we're asking them. And when I was out there, I got very little oil on my hands, but one of the impacts that I noticed is what they call keratosis. In other words, it makes the skin, the outer skin, the exposed skin, horny. It turns it to something like your fingernail, and then it peels off. That is not good stuff to deal with.
Further discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Representative Swackhammer? Yes. Representative Ballmer? Yes. Representative Wallace? Yes. Representative Barnes? Nope. Representative Brown? Yes. Representative Coconin? Yes. Representative Stokes? Yes. Representative Greger? Yes. Representative Schultz? No. Co-chairman Hoffman? Yes. Co-chairman Mark? No. Okay, please note that it's passed.
Like to move the Department of Commerce amendment also at a lower number. I'd propose to substitute 142,200 in place of 187,100. Again, 142,200 to the Department of Commerce to meet increased demands on agency operations for the way stations and the Division of Insurance. And I'd ask Ms. Elgin if she'd speak briefly to the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, basically included here are two things. The Division of Insurance is anticipating putting together a claims handbook for people to work with Exxon in processing claims for reimbursement. There's a lot of confusion right now in the communities about how to go about doing that and what might potentially be available. And they would also be holding hearings in the area on this issue. The way station operations money is necessary just because of the heavy traffic that's coming over the road, and it has forced us to have to open up the way station for longer hours earlier this year than would normally be the case, and the anticipation by the department is that it will have to be maintained with the longer hours of operation for some time.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, could I make a motion to...
Yes, we have a motion to adopt the sum of $142,200.
Yeah, I want to find out what was deleted here.
Representative Brown?
Yes. What I deleted were 5 months of the FY90 request from measurement standards, leaving it at 7 months or 44.8. So under measurement standards, there's... This packet was prepared, is this the one? The 89 and 90 are shown separately in your backup, but it's under 90 measurement standards.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a motion to delete, let's see, 10, 20, $50,000 from Division of Insurance?
Okay, we have a motion to amend the main amendment, which is the sum of 142.2 by how much, Representative Phillips?
50 grand.
Discussion then on just a motion to amend. Could you give us an explanation?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, this thing is getting a little too out of hand as far as I'm concerned right now, as far as claims. Let me ask, has anybody had calls from their constituents complaining about the claim process right now?
Representative Wallace?
Well, we could ask the question, too, has, what are they facing there in Valdez? I don't know if people have even have time to assess.
The point I'm trying to make, Mr. Chairman, I think if there were some problems, we'd be the first to know about it.
Are you ready for the question? And the motion to amend.
I was just going to say, I don't think any Representative Sweckenberg represents a part of the area, but the area that's most heavily impacted, the representatives from that area are not present to speak up. It's my understanding that there are, in fact, a lot of problems that people, private people out there, are going to face in attempting to recover their own damages or to get their livelihoods compensated that have been affected. And I don't think this is very much money to put at this. The original Department of Labor request was much greater than this. I forget what the exact number was, but they are encountering a lot of work because of this situation. There are a lot of questions that have come up about the adequacy of Exxon's insurance and the insurance tax and whether Exxon is paying it. And I note that the administration has only put forward a small part of what the agency originally requested. I think that this is a reasonable expenditure to help make this information available to people at this time. So I would oppose the motion to delete the $50,000.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Representative Swackhammer, then we'll let the response from the maker of the motion, then we'll vote.
Mr. Chairman, I've tried to be real patient, but my patience is really drawing nigh, and I just sent one of my staff people to go bring in six people from Cordova that I met with here at 1 o'clock and let you listen to their frustrations about not getting paid by Exxon. All the expenses, their total budget has, they spent 10% of their total budget in trying to address this problem. You guys better stop and think about what you're doing. We were the first one to yell and scream about Alyeska not responding, not being satisfied with Exxon. What do you think the legislature can do? The only thing we can do is provide them the resources, and we have a responsibility to make sure that those resources that we provide them are accountable. But I don't feel real comfortable, especially with some of the areas that I hear from the committee members here.
Representative Phillips?
Mr. Chairman, I also have people who have businesses in the Prince William Sound that contacted me earlier, and I gave them the numbers to contact the claims. I said, if you have any problems with these people, call me so I can do something about it. I have not gotten those calls back. That's why I asked the question of the committee members. And I'm sure a lot of you people have constituents that have either a business or an employee of a business that's affected by this. All I'm going on is what I know about it. I do have constituents that do own businesses in that area, and they have not called me back and placing their claims with Exxon.
Okay, Representative Schultz and Chairman Hoffman, then we'll vote.
Okay. I, too, am getting a little frustrated with this entire process. If there are areas that do need, in fact, assistance, in my opinion, it is in the Division of Safety and in the Division of Tourism. But I'll tell you what, it's getting a little bit ridiculous because my understanding is that Exxon has spent up to this point in time, including the ferries or including the boat that they got there, that big, I saw on the TV the other day, approximately $45 million we're spending, authorizing expenditures of approximately $56 million, of which we hope to get reimbursed. What I think is going to happen, these people are on the bandwagon. They're going to be holding meetings. They're going to be sending out brochures and pamphlets and all this kind of stuff. In my opinion, they are hampering the cleanup efforts. They are getting in the way. There are too many of them. They are stepping on each other. They are duplicating things. So I'm frustrated with the whole process, too. Those entities that are very severely impacted, which I know the Department of Safety is one of them, because I do know that my district borders that area, and I do know the problems that they've had and the influx of people that they've had down there. But when it comes to these other people that are coming in and making these ludicrous claims, and we pass $20 million, we give it to DEC, you come in here and you want $36.5 million to address all these other silly things that are going on in anticipation of the reports that come out. Anticipated not only effects now, but effects for 5 years from now, 10 years from now. They want to get into your pocket and they want to stay there. Some of these entities. Read the backup with some of this disaster psychologist. It's pathetic. It is honest to God pathetic that we got people that can sit around and dream these things up. To read the thing, first of all, you'd have to have some kind of a PhD in something. I don't know whether the hell it's English or not, but it's pretty close to it. But I get very frustrated myself, Representative Swackhammer, on this whole process. We're spending a lot of money. We've got a budget of approximately $2.1 billion. We've got an oil disaster in the state of Alaska. How much money did we spend on the flood? How much money did we spend on the earthquake? In my opinion, the only reason that we're spending the kind of money and willing to spend the kind of money that we're willing to spend right now is because we've got a person that caused it, an entity that caused this kind of a thing, and they got a lot of money. They got a lot of money. If it had been a natural disaster, what would we have done? Would we be approaching it in the same manner? I don't think so. I do not think we would be. So I'm very frustrated that we're getting stupid, silly requests from departments that are already, in my opinion, overfunded. And they can easily handle it with the budget that they're going to be getting in 2 or 3 months from now. In addition to their supplemental.
Well, I guess if I offend Representative Swackhammer, I feel that I have a fiduciary responsibility to the state, and I have to ask the questions to satisfy my conscience. I have a very serious concern about the spill, and I want it addressed. But I have some of the similar concerns that Representative Schultz has, maybe not to the magnitude, but when we're going ahead and funding and somebody go out and test the air for $63,000 for the year, and we cut it down to 7 months, I say the dollars could be better spent cleaning up the rocks and doing other things. And I question whether maybe there is a need to check the air quality, but if there is, I think there's existing people in the state to do it. And I guess I feel a little bit uncomfortable in not having the answers and who is in charge and what are we going, where the dollars are going, and who should be pushed first. We have, as I said, and you agree, I guess, from the discussions we've had about the budget, we have a serious financial problem in this state, but I still feel that we have to address the oil spill, but who's the lead agency? And I've been told that the U.S. Coast Guard's the lead agency. Where are they? Where are they coming forward as a lead agency saying, here's what we need from you, the state of Alaska, to assist in this cleanup?
Okay, are you ready for the vote on this question?
Representative Ballmer?
Yes. Wait, could I clarify? Would you please state the motion?
Amendment 3 to Amendment 1 for $142,200.
I guess I thought we were on the
question
amendment
is to delete the $50,000.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Then I would like to withdraw my vote.
Okay, we'll have to start the roll call over.
Okay, Representative Ballmer.
No.
Representative Wallace?
Yes.
Representative Barnes?
Yes.
Representative Brown?
No.
Representative Copeland?
Oh.
Representative Phillips?
Yes.
Representative Reeder?
Yes.
Representative?
Yes.
Representative Swackhammer?
No.
Co-Chairman Larson?
No.
President?
No.
Co-Chairman Hoffman?
No.
5 yeas, 6 nays.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to change my vote, please. I said no and I'm not sure.
No, on the main motion, this is 142-2. Further discussion?
Question.
Only question.
Representative Wallace?
Yes.
Representative Barnes?
No.
Representative Brown?
Yes.
Representative Cookman?
Yes.
Representative Phillips?
Yes.
Representative Reeder?
Yes.
Representative Schultz?
No.
Representative Swackhammer?
Yes.
Representative
Ballmer?
Yes.
Co-Chairman Hoffman?
Yes.
Co-Chairman
Martin?
Yes.
9 yeas, 2 nays. Next, Representative Brown. Next, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the Community and Regional Affairs Department amendment for $100,600. I think there's... The backup here indicates that this is needed to assure that we have uniform procedures and methodologies for estimating lost property values in a number of communities that have been affected by the spill. I'd like to ask Ms. Elgee to further explain why we need to do this for $100,000. This is $94,000 in contractual, $94.8 and $5.8 in travel.
Mr. Chairman, before she explains that, could I say something, please?
Representative,
I do not know why we're wasting our time. Why don't we just move all this stuff and be done with it and quit wasting our time, because it's pretty obvious to me that it's going to pass.
Yes, Ms. Elgee?
Mr. Chairman, the State Assessor's Office will be preparing, working with communities to prepare the 1989 full and true valuation. The way the cycle works is that they work with the communities to prepare the initial assessment throughout the summer. That assessment is returned to the communities in the fall. The communities have a chance to appeal the full and true value determination, and final adjustments are made by December before the product is finished. This is important for a number of the formulas that the state uses to fund programs, primarily revenue sharing and the public school foundation formula. Our concern is that without working with the communities to develop some kind of uniform methodology to come up with assessed valuations for these impacted communities this year, that we are going to have an inconsistent practice and will be unable to resolve them through the normal procedural process that we would use to settle disputes. So this money would provide funding to work with the communities to develop that methodology and get some kind of standard approach taken to the reassessment of property.
Any further discussion? Representative Reeder.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I do object to this one. I think it's kind of a long reach to do this. As far as impacts to individuals and whose properties values have declined, I think that, you know, you do file with the recorder's office when a piece of property is sold, and I think that this is a very well-documented disaster. To put extra people onto it, I think, is not advisable. And if they want to, I don't think it's closely enough connected to the spill to be something that we should be just putting out in general.
I guess the question I have is, what area, other than probably Kodiak here, is in an incorporated community that has the property values assessed for taxation purposes?
Mr. Chairman, Kenai, Kodiak,